Here we are again. We're talking business. We're talking entrepreneurship. That means my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of Radio Entrepreneurs, at least until others find a better host, which should be quite easy. I'm being co-hosted by Rich Hershen from the firm of Gray, Gray & Gray. Thank you very much, Rich.
Jeff, it's good to be here. Glad we could host Radio Entrepreneurs today, and we're having a lot of fun.
Right. We talked about you a lot in the last segment, but you weren't here.
Great. So. Well, I'll listen to it on the website. I'll go to
good. Well, I was watching your phone, though. You got a lot of texts.
All right. So our next guest.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. Change the subject. Is Susan Bernstein of Susan A. Bernstein Law. Wow. Name to name.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Hi, Susan. Tell us about your practice.
I focus on environmental land use and commercial real estate, which means that I work with commercial real estate property owners and developers, by and large. I have two sides to my practice. One is the affirmative side, in which I help developers identify highest and best use of their properties or their developments. Either they own a property or they want to purchase a property to accommodate a certain kind of business. And I will look at the zoning, the permitting. I will counsel them on the environmental due diligence tests that they should go through before they buy the property, because you want to make sure you know what you are buying. Is there hazardous waste there? Has there been a release, et cetera? I have worked in a number of communities, particularly Boston, where thankfully for me, there is layer upon layer of regulation and requirement. The other side of my practice is defending clients who may have had a release on their property and the state or federal environmental agency comes after them, or a neighboring property comes after them and says, you caused a release of hazardous waste onto my property, you are liable. There's two sides of the street, if you will. I think that's a great question. I had been
shocking.
In government service. I had worked in a congressional office. I had worked for the State Department of Mental Health and then Public Health. So I was always on working with regulations. Then as a second career, I went to law school. So instead of writing and enforcing the regulations, I was now interpreting them for my clients. To kill a mockingbird inspirations along the way. I was just intrigued with what the law could do to help people make things better, really.
And what made you decide to start your own law firm?
Well, I was at a medium-sized Boston law firm, and we had a huge client that I worked on with a number of colleagues who, as the generation shifted, they left our firm and went to another firm. And I thought about going to another law firm or to government. And I said, I think I'm going to give this solo practice thing a try. Because I had management experience. And I figured, why should I work this hard for anybody but me? So I hung out a shingle, as we say. And that was 21 years ago.
The rest is history?
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, do you have entrepreneurial lineage in your family?
I would say yes. Yes, my father was in the women's retail clothing business. He had a small chain of stores in eastern Massachusetts. My grandmother was the manager of FAO Schwarz in Boston.
Wow.
At a time when that was a pretty big deal.
Did you have lots of toys?
No. We only had the toys that were broken.
Or the ones that didn't sell that no one wanted.
Yeah. Right. No, we had a nice complement of toys. And I remember when I started my private practice, there were a couple of things on the business side that I wasn't aware of. So I went to my dad and I said,
you know, what are receivables?
Oh, wow. Now you're talking my language.
Yeah.
But if you are motivated and you can handle the administrative part of your practice, billable hours, paying your vendors, etc., you have those entrepreneurial skills, you can make any kind of small business work. The other thing is that in 2018, you can outsource some of your administrative functions. I have an administrative person who comes in once a month. I have an offsite bookkeeper. I use an accountant so that I can focus more on the law and helping my clients.
What do you think of the biggest problems real estate companies, real estate developers are looking towards in the next couple of years?
Well, I think that we have been extraordinarily lucky that the Boston market has been so prolific. We are building. I think that at some point that's going to fall off the cliff. But from an environmental perspective, I think it's all about energy efficiency, the impact of climate change, and how
developers need to make sure that they take that information into account. For example, when they redid the floodplain maps, there are new higher levels that people must build to, which means that you have to be above the floodplain. And there are developers who come to me and they say, and engineers, frankly, who say, well, we don't need to go to the Wetlands Commission. There's no wetlands here. And I say to them, well, with due respect, you're in an AE flood zone. And you're going to build a new building. You have to be at least above that floodplain. And most places want you to be a foot above, although you have to be at least above. Having more energy efficient systems, any large project needs to meet, in the city of Boston, for example, very stringent energy efficiency steps. In the Seaport District, which we are building out, mechanical rooms are no longer on the bottom of, in the basement, the lower floors of a building. Now they're on the higher floors, oftentimes on the roof. So I think those are amongst the challenges that developers face right now.
And do you find the developers are pretty open to, especially the environmental impact? You see a lot of developers, you know, advertising that their building is green and has all the certifications, and it's kind of an in thing right now to do that. So are you seeing developers embracing some of that?
Yes, yes. Ultimately, there are materials and functions that are not sexy, that are not in, like swapping out the fluorescent light bulbs in an office building, that can be enormously helpful in reducing the cost of energy. It's also about how to make your project more affordable and more energy efficient. And in some cases, they require you to do that.
Great. Susan, if somebody wants to find you and learn more, work with Susan A. Bernstein Law, how would they find you?
I have an office in Needham at 200 Highland Avenue. I'm right off Route 128. I work in several communities across eastern Massachusetts. I have a website, which is www.sabernlaw.com. Which is part of my name. And you can call me at 781-290-5858.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate learning about you and your business.
Yes, thanks. I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you.
Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and that last voice you heard, it was Rich Hershen, our host on Radio Entrepreneurs through this whole segment. Thank you very much, Rich.
You're welcome.
Always a gentleman. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with another story on Radio Entrepreneurs.